diversity of richness that the result of that process of all these living forms exploring acoustic niches and filling them and listening at the same time. And that's the beauty. That's the aesthetic criterion that is explored and replicated or re-energized through this work. It's definitely not that the idea that we know where these sounds should happen.
Well,
Yeah,
Brady.
we like to call it a life-affirming experience. Really, that's really all we try to
Well, Mark Timmings and Brady C.L. Marks, you both run the Wetland Project, and if people want to learn more, they can visit your website, wetlandproject.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
WGXC 90.7 FM.
you have the already global networks. So my argument is very simple. The present media is too large and wasteful. From now on, we should think about the more smaller media to diverse our culture and community. I have different idea on airwave. Airwave belong to the every people, everybody, not to the states or a government. Okay, I will make the transmitter now.
Are you tired of your flying saucer always breaking down on your way to Mars? Wish you could get more bang for your whoopee at the gas pump? Well, here at Flying Saucer Mart, we have the perfect flying saucer for you. It goes as fast as light. It comes in a variety of colors and only costs you 75 whoopee. Come down to 375 Bionic Ave in Pluto City and fly home with a new used flying saucer today.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stuart Summer of Hillsdale, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXE sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXE.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Andrea Mako reports at Porcupine Soup that Columbia Memorial health officials are staying mum about where they might put a new medical facility in Greene County after being awarded a $5 million state grant for the project. Catskill and Coxsackie have been mentioned as possible locations, but Greene County legislator Mike Lavera is complaining that county government officials are being left out of the loop. Lavera said, and I quote, "My concern is the lack of information being provided to county officials. The reality is that CMH and only some of the county knew they applied for this grant, yet we were not informed of that key detail," end quote. Last month, Greene County officials said the Hudson-based hospital was moving away from considering Catskill's location near Exit 21 of the New York State Thruway as a possibility for a medical facility. They said then that a Coxsackie location near a different interstate exit was a possibility, but Lavera opposes the Coxsackie site, saying, and I quote, "Cairo or Catskill, not Coxsackie, should be exactly where CMH should be looking to build or expand. Coxsackie, with all due respect, is not the center of the county, and we all know it. That would serve big government doctors in southern Albany, not Greene County," end quote. CMH spokesperson William Van Slyke said the Catskill location still, and I quote, "remains one of several properties in Greene County that has potential for us to locate the new facility." Read the full story at Porcupine Soup. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that several members of the Hudson Teachers Association don't want students to be allowed to carry cell phones after video recordings of several fights at the middle school surfaced online. The March 1st school board meeting where the teachers made their requests was attended by more than 200 people. Superintendent Lisa Marie Spindler explained how the district was addressing the fights and other recent threats of violence at the school. At one point, Spindler said that a girl wielding a knife in one of the videos did not make contact with her intended target. Brianna Conti, the mother of the boy being attacked in the video, disagreed with the superintendent, saying, and I quote, "No, there was not just a stabbing motion. Contact was made," end quote. She also said the school never called her about the incident. At the meeting, Lola Roberts said a male student threatened to shoot her daughter and the district had downplayed the incident. She said, and I quote, "the school needs to stop pushing stuff under the rug," end quote. Spindler admitted the district was not prepared for the effect the pandemic and remote learning had on students' mental health. She said the district was hiring a social worker, a guidance counselor, and a restorative justice specialist with stimulus funds to address the issue. The next day, Spindler sent a letter to parents that said, and I quote, that we have taken immediate action to enhance safety in our schools, and we are committed to continuing, exploring, and implementing additional initiatives to ensure that our schools are safe, secure environments for our students, faculty, staff, and visitors, end quote. She also said bathrooms at the high school would now lock during transition between classes. The Hudson School Board also voted to hire a public relations firm to communicate with parents and the press, paying Focus Media of Goshen $175 per professional per hour. Read the full story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that Congressperson Pat Ryan sent a letter to CSX President and CEO Joseph Henrich demanding the company adopt more safety standards to stop a major train accident locally. Ryan says CSX trains carrying toxic materials have derailed repeatedly over the past several years, including in the Hudson Valley. Ryan, a Democrat who represents the 18th Congressional District and a member of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, also wants a congressional hearing on rail safety. Ryan said, and I quote, "We've seen a disturbing pattern of CSX consistently putting profit over safety, creating serious risk that what happened in Ohio could repeat itself right here in the Hudson Valley. Just like Norfolk Southern, CSX and other big rail corporations spent millions lobbying the last president to deregulate the railways, resulting in the administration withdrawing a proposal to require faster brakes on trains carrying highly flammable materials and ending regular rail safety audits of railroads," end quote. In 2017, there was a CSX derailment in Newburgh that spilled 4,600 tons of diesel fuel. There are 131 miles of CSX tracks along the Hudson River and into New Jersey. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the Donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
From Mare Nostrum to Mare Mortuum, the preventable disaster of migrant deaths at sea. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The bodies of drowned migrants are still washing up on the beaches of Crotone, Italy, on the Mediterranean Sea. Their wooden boat crashed on the rocks just offshore from this Calabrian resort town, turning the beach, said one local, into a graveyard. The death toll reached 67 on Wednesday with 80 survivors. It's assumed many more died as at least 200 people were aboard the boat when it departed Izmir, Turkey, a few days earlier. Orlando Amadeo, a local doctor, told The Guardian, "I've been treating migrants for 30 years and have never seen anything like this." He said these people traveled 1,078 kilometers by sea only to die 3 meters from the shore, unquote. The Mediterranean Sea itself has become a massive graveyard in recent years. The UN's International Organization for Migration, the IOM, estimates at least 26,000 migrants have perished while crossing to Europe, mostly from Turkey and Libya, fleeing Afghanistan, Syria, and drought-stricken and war-torn African nations. Many more migrants have died uncounted as clandestine voyages on makeshift boats overcrowded by human traffickers out to maximize profit too often disappear at sea without a trace.
There is a lot more media attention in this case because the tragedy happened so close to Italy.
That's Caroline Willeman, deputy head of search and rescue with Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, speaking of the Crotone shipwreck on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
but this is something that happens on a quite unfortunately regular basis, also very often closer, for example, to the Libyan coast, of people leaving the Libyan shores, and very often that news will not even reach Western media.
Over 7 million Ukrainians fleeing the Russian invasion have rightly been welcomed into Europe. Timuri Mohammed lost a relative in the Crotone disaster. Speaking to the press there, he lamented the lack of equal treatment for non-white refugees.
Because they have the black hair, or they don't have the green or blue eyes, they didn't rescue these people. I don't know, all the people they telling about the human right. Because they have the black eye or the black hair, they weren't human.
MSF has been operating search and rescue vessels in the Mediterranean since 2015, plying dangerous waters to rescue thousands of migrants who might otherwise have died, while also dodging an increasing array of regulations and restrictions imposed by European countries intent on blocking migration. MSF's latest ship, the Geo Barents, was refitted and launched in June 2021. It's currently impounded in a Sicilian port, victim of Italy's new crackdown on humanitarian search and rescue operations launched by the far-right government of Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni.
In this new legislation that has come out that targets only NGOs doing search and rescue work.
Caroline Willeman again.
Keep in mind that the vast majority of people who arrive in Italy, either they manage to arrive autonomously or they are rescued by the Italian Coast Guard, but the legislation targets only NGOs, which says quite a lot.
Médecins Sans Frontières is not the only humanitarian organization involved in migrant rescue that's being hounded by various European governments. Sea-Watch, Rescue Ship, and other German-based groups are condemning Germany's new ship safety ordinance that seems designed specifically to hamper civilian migrant rescue operations. In 2015, a youth-driven project led to the acquisition and conversion of a small fishing vessel christened Juventa. The ship operated in the central Mediterranean, considered the most dangerous route to Europe, helping save 14,000 migrants from 2015 until it was seized by Italian authorities in 2017. Now, more than 5 years later, several crew members are being tried in Italy, along with activists from MSF and Save the Children, accused of, quote, aiding and abetting unauthorized immigration, unquote. Sasha Gerke, one of the Juventa crew members, made a statement in court on Wednesday. He said, I would like to begin this statement today in this courtroom by commemorating those who lost their lives off the coast of Crotone while we were sitting in this courtroom on Saturday. They started to fight for their lives. In a terrible and unambiguous way, the deaths of these people remind us of what's actually being on trial here. The Crotone shipwreck is inseparable from this trial. It wasn't the bad sea weather. It was the denial of help where it was possible. The answer to the Crotone disaster is the expansion of rescue capacities at sea and not their confiscation. The answer is safe and legal entry routes and not Fortress Europe, he said. 6 years ago, Dr. Orlando Amodeo posted a video showing body bags of drowned migrants being lowered to a dock off of one of MSF's rescue ships. He called the video From Mare Nostrum to Mare Mortuum, invoking the ancient Roman name for the Mediterranean, Mare Nostrum, our sea, and naming what it has become, Mare Mortuum, the sea of death. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, rain and snow and sleet before noon, then rain and snow are likely. The sleet could be heavy at times with the temperature high near 37 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of rain and snow showers before 10 p.m., then a chance of snow showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 28 degrees. And on Sunday, partly sunny with a temperature high near 42 degrees. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 27 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support. WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Rehearsing and nursing apart, we know every card by heart. Overture, curtain lights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it. Tonight, what heights we'll hit.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
I came to in a motel room, tied, standing. That is, my feet, somehow I'm on them, although I was out. I'm in now, but in what I'm not sure. A trance, perhaps. I'm wavy like that. I can't feel my body. I can't feel my eyes. Am I door? I mean, am I dead? I want to scream or even blubber, but I have nothing but helpless thoughts. All I wanted was some new cast iron pans. That's the last thing I remember. Checking the junks in an outdoor flea market and auction run by some country folk with a look of spooky secrets. And now I'm here, hostaged and cursed. The shirts that surround me, I would say, are one with the flesh. The three men in them, nebbish. Soily Wook-level fitness with Michigan bad vibrations. These are some diabolical hippies. And I don't know how, and I don't know why, but they got me. They pass around a crystal, giving it a good hard blow before moving it on, finally, into the pocket of the last man in line. Light shorts, heavy on the socks. Truly wicked. They gaze in my direction, silent, intense, as if watching smoke from a slow-motion fire projected on the side of a tent. This continues for millennia, until a fourth man enters, wearing a leather jacket, flannel shirt, corduroy pants, and a suede hat with sequins spelling out the word denim. Not too porky, but rich, he carries a birdhouse for a briefcase. From it, he pulls a mister. He tests it in the air with a poof, and cannoli sweetness powders the pissed pants motel air. For sure, he is the ringleader of this jam band of dark star schlamozzles. He approaches, addresses a figure that I can now see from the corner of my maybe dead eyes. Tell me, what are you? He asks. I am a boy. I am Elijah, is the response. He sprays the boy with the mister. What are you? Elijah. Spritz, spritz, what are you? Elijah. Someone turn those tunes up louder, man, someone requests. The mister fills up the room beyond a stink. There is something more, warm, wet, choking me in sweet piss, chocolate chips, and citrus. What a door, oh, door, odor, odor. What are you, a door, what are you, a door, what, I am a door, says the boy. With this, the men get giddy and give each other a series of backwards handshakes that evolve into a putrid jig. One man removes his shirt, holds it neatly, and then bounces his trunk in an extended sacred boogie, causing sweat to flee from his chest hair while the other men chant, ooh, glyph, or gliss, gonif, can't make it out. Jeez, just wanted some pans. The shirtless one struts to the boy, and then with one big stride, he steps his foot inside of him, through the stomach, producing the embarrassing sounds of wet pressure. He glides in further, deeper, but the foot finds no exit. He just keeps crawling in, ducking his head under the ribcage, pulling his second foot behind him, and disappearing completely into the boy. The other men follow, smiling and prancing like happy dancing bears, all the way into and through an Elijah, who was once a boy, but is now a door. And when the last of these twisted earth people step out of the motel and into whatever hellish realm the door boy tenders entry, they close his door behind them, and this Elijah vanishes within himself. Now I am alone. I know I am next. The music keeps playing, and the crystals are still smoking in the ashtray. The next batch of boogie boys will no doubt blow in here soon, and when they do, I must not let them through me. I am a human, and I must remember who I am. I creak, I swing, I slam.
Me better off dead. Switchman sleeping, 102. One more track and headed for you.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
Here are some events this week on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, where you can add your own event and have it read on the radio in the WGXC community calendar. Saturday, March 4th, the Black Earth Wisdom book releases at the Hudson Area Library at 1 p.m. It's by Leah Penniman. The Live for Art Gallery has storytellers Saturday, March 4th at 2 p.m. The Greene County Council on the Arts are Create their exhibition space on 398 Main Street in Catskill opens an exhibit called Stepping Out of History, Telling Our Own Story on Saturday, March 4th from 4 to 6 p.m. is the opening reception. It's a group exhibition. Also Saturday, March 4th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, down the street from the Create space, Waldo Witt, Velvet Moon, and Katie Condrit and Henry Grant all perform. WGXC will have a live web stream of the entire show. Sunday, March 5th, the Dolls Drag Brunch is at the Glens Falls House up on Round Top. That's at 11 a.m. at the Trotwood restaurant there. Also, Sunday, March 5th is the annual Oakdale Plunge at the Oakdale Lake Beach House at noon on Sunday. Proceeds from the event go to the Hudson Youth Department Waterfront Program and the Hudson Fire Department's Water Rescue and Dive Team. And the traditional Irish jam session is every week Sundays at the Shamrock House in East Durham. That's from 2 to 5 p.m. Tuesday, March 7th, the Catskill Town Board has a committee meeting, and all Catskill Town Board meetings have a live webcast, so you can turn out to the Catskill Town Hall at 439 Main Street or tune in at a web stream at wgxc.org/listen to the Catskill Town Board meeting Tuesday, March 7th at 6:30 p.m. Find these and other events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting, un-American behavior is 1 year in prison or $10,000 fine or both. Anyone making a sick, subversive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under edict number 364 of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, buddy. All right.
I am talking with Daniel Platt. So can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Short version. My name is Dan Platt. I've been a resident of Albany for my whole life here in the downtown area. I went to school for architecture between the years of 2006 and 2012, where I started being a political activist, being interested in organizing, radical politics. And in doing so, shifted towards more protest activities to more community projects, infrastructure, in the grassroots fashion.
And what do you do at WCAA Grand Arts?
So the title I've given myself is just radio station coordinator. Usually general manager is the usual title. But we want to do it more horizontally, but at the moment I am coordinating kind of station management activities. So mostly focus on the programming and then maybe I'll shift to other duties, but at the moment I'm a kind of do one thing at a time kind of person.
So for those who don't know about Grand Street Arts and WCEA, can you explain a little bit about what it is?
Sure. It's about a five-year-old from the starting point, at least going on air, but it's a bit older. There's always been a kernel of an idea in the south end of Albany to have a grassroots radio station. One of our producers just mentioned to me today in a phone call about how there was a group of residents who wanted to have a kind of a black-run radio station, but the means weren't really there to do so. The Center for Independent Media, it was in the last 12 years that it's been even allowable through a lawsuit on the FCC that there can be low power stations. So with that happening, and the ability to open a low power station, it was Grand Street Community Arts, which was a somewhat established nonprofit doing arts programming, to start a radio station. And then it went from there. So the last 5 years, it's been on the air with roughly a dozen to 15 producers at any time. And also in the last 2 years, we've become a Pacifica affiliate.
Oh, wow, that's cool. Pacifica affiliate. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, it's been really great because, well, before the station went on air, first what was organized was a grassroots radio station conference. So that way when Grand Street started their station, they would have all of this knowledge and expertise, basically listening to the experiences and the tips of other stations, community stations that had been around for the last few years, maybe longer because they were a nonprofit station, like the main Pacifica stations. And that was really successful, had a lot of great workshops, met people, and anyone who was interested in the station at the time was there, as well as the first general manager would do regular public informational meetings to recruit people. And it was there that Pacifica people were there to represent their station, their system, and the network of how, you know, they have a platform allowing any affiliate station to upload their shows and share them with anyone else who wants to download them. So all Pacifica stations can share their content with each other, and that's pretty seamless. It's really good, and it allows for diversity beyond any one station.
Cool. In terms of your programming on your station, is the most of your programs that air on WCEA produced in-house? And what are some of the programs that are produced? You know, are they arts, news, music, et cetera, and so forth?
Yeah, we really try to keep it as various as possible. It's also based on what people come to us. People have their own ideas of what they want to do. Half are music, half are news, or half are talk. It can be whatever people are interested in. And that goes for the Pacifica content as well. So it kind of feels like half and half. And we kind of try to keep it that way. I remember one past GM saying we had 30 producers, but that seems a little high. Maybe it was more around 20. At the moment, we have 12 active producers, and it will soon be 15 by the month's end, because I'm slowly bringing people back after the station was down last year for a significant time.
Not everything that you guys produce goes onto the Pacifica network? The way you said that.
Well, it goes into their system. It's a matter of outreach of whether another station plays it, but it is available.
Oh, okay. So why did you guys go off the air for a couple of months? You know, you disappeared there for a couple of months.
So it was a matter of, like any grassroots organization, sometimes it's difficult to have consistent leadership.
Right, yes.
Or a consistent team. You know, sometimes it's people burn out or people's circumstances change.
Right.
In this case, it was the confluence of, in our first few years, it was rough going because there was always this precarity of fundraising and paying for the station and the station being self-funding and developing the content, the programming, and the volunteer base. And it was difficult to do one or the other. And anyone who was kind of leading the station, coordinating, general managing, found themselves in a position where they had to do one or the other. And so, but then it was until COVID, actually, which allowed certain people who were involved or volunteering to really go all in. And this was the case of our last in name, or at least in practice, general manager, Mr. Paul Smart. But he, in the intervening year, so he was able to do a ton of stuff really quickly because he was doing nothing else, like others who were in lockdown.
Right, yeah.
And he also had a ton of experience in community media, particularly newspapers, but also some radio. And so he was able to do a lot at once, more than was done in the last 3 years, and attempted to get others up to speed to co-manage things. But the skill levels are very various, and the lockdown was not forever, and this meant that he needed to go back to work, and then eventually he developed his own plans to move out of the country.
Right.
So he did his best to train everyone up to kind of fill his shoes, but this didn't really fully happen. But it was also a matter of everyone who is there producing is already putting in 10 to 12 volunteer hours making their content, or at least putting in effort and labor hours into the programming, right? So it's almost like throwing more volunteer hours on.
Right.
Many, like myself, were not willing to do that. And I'd been the lead on other community projects like Food Not Bombs and other things like Occupy Albany. And I was really wanted to be kind of, I did not want to be running things. I was kind of did not want to step up as long as possible. And so despite best efforts, he moved, and especially because he had less time before he moved. This left a very large gap in leadership, pretty much. There was not quite the step up that he envisioned. So things went bad where one of our computers failed. So without the proper means and infrastructure, tech support, let's say, set up to fix it all, it was kind of left to sit until I was my man was forced to step up. And so I've been coordinating since, doing my best with those around me, because it's not just me. I also rely on everyone else involved, including Grand Street people and our other producers, slowly training them up in the last few months. So we're really getting there. I'm very optimistic, / I have hope. Optimism is kind of where you just assume things will work out, right, which could have been where we were at 2 years ago. Now it's a matter of hope. I hope things will working out. And we also have some local tech help that will solve some of the general issues. So we've changed our software from something that was open source as well. So that was something else that was kind of in play where we were using an open source software, but which, you know, it's good because it's very flexible and it's free. But it also means only 10 people in the country know how to fix problems with it, which was why we ran into a really big wall. So we've changed our software, and things are moving forward.
So it wasn't just one big problem. It was a bunch of different problems that just ran into a big storm.
Yes. So, like, you know, the kind of thing where over a few years things compile, where you just kind of ignore, you push aside, or you push ahead based on the need to kind of make a project happen.
Well, it's good that you're back on the air, and I hope that you continue to be on the air. So say someone wants to start a show on your radio station, how would they go and do that?
The best thing to do is contact me, but our main email is grandstreetarts. Let me go ahead. It's grandarts. No, wait. I'm sorry, it's okay, sorry. The
good.
Station email is wcaa@grandarts.org.
wcaa@grandarts.org.
Correct. And the main website is grandstreetarts.org, which is where you can find the live stream, as well as some other info, though it's very sparse at the moment. The live stream is the main focus, but there's also the donate page and the ability to be a member. Otherwise, I'm the person directing that process of onboarding people. We basically have a basic streamlined training process for starting a new show. And I'm going through that with a team right now who are looking to kind of do a half music, half talk show. So I'm really hopeful about that.
Cool. And one of the shows you play is Hudson Mohawk Magazine on your radio station, correct?
We do. At least once a day on the weekdays in towards the afternoon. No, actually, no. I think I have, for some days, twice a day. Once in the morning, once in the afternoon.
Ah.
Along with a Spanish news show, which is one of the few things that we do really differently than other stations.
Spanish?
We have some Spanish programming, yes.
Spanish. Interesting. So it's like it's a Spanish news program.
Yes. I mean, we have Spanish speakers in our Tri-City area,
yeah,
don't we?
Definitely, yeah.
As well as Spanish, as well as Latin music and other Latin American themed news shows from the Pacifica network. Like one is called Latin Waves, another is called Making Contact, which I guess is more labor issues, but yeah.
So your radio mission statement is creating unity through arts and educating the power of community activism. So how do you stay true to that? How do you make sure that that statement is followed through with? Does that make sense?
No, it's proper to ask a question about a mission statement, isn't it?
Yes.
But I can say that what I can speak to is the desire. My vision for the station is, as far as all of the will take pretty much anyone show, you want to do something, you want to try something, we'll make space for you. That's grassroots media. And to provide a platform for people, that's the art side. And the unity side is the fact that anyone of various skill ability can be a part of it. Unlike, say, a commercial station or a college station, which precludes being a student, or, I mean, RPI, of course, had many non-students doing programs, but that changed.
Right.
It wasn't guaranteed.
Yeah.
We have the true unity, so to speak. But my vision is also to be a place for news. Hudson Mohawk Magazine does a great news program. I admire it quite greatly. And to have one that's more just either Albany-focused, or to have quick local news that is maybe just more of a daily presence in people's lives so that people can be truly informed. Relying on my own experience or my own life, I ran for office and found that everyone's very disconnected from what's going on because there is no shared information network. You know, yes, there's the word of mouth of, I heard this. Oh, did you hear about that happening? And there's the Times Union paper, and there's this or that kind of outlet, but it's all very limiting,
right?
Both in the content and the perspective. There's only so much Albany politics that the Times Union or the Hearst paper can cover. There's only so many interviews that David Lucas of NPR can do, or of WAMC.
Right.
This is as someone who is an activist, you know, you can put out your message, but how many are really going to be reached? And that's something that I feel radio, especially online, can be reached by everyone. And especially if we get the right volunteers to have regular TikToks or other social media stuff, as well as the thing that even someone with $5 radio can access.
So talking more about radio, it's a question that I ask a lot of radio stations when I do these interviews. Do you think radio as a medium is dying?
It doesn't look that way as far as the creation of new community stations as well as the perseverance of others. I think it's just a matter of funding stream, of how it's paid for. I think slowly all community media needs to be community media, or unless it's covering regional issues, in which case the internet has, you have Substacks, you have subscription-based, where it's totally the creators are accountable to their subscribers. The subscribers have a particular need that needs filling for the type of reporting, actual on-the-ground reporting, journalism that can be, it takes a lot of labor. And that's something that people are willing to pay for should they be able to get it consistently.
Right.
No, and similarly, besides, you know, community institutions and small businesses, our station can be funded by grassroots sources. We don't need full grants. Our grant writing at Grant Street is mostly for the renovations of the building. So we have proper facilities. But the operations can definitely be funded grassroots, and people are listening. People want to listen to their friend or the person they know on the block or the person they are aware of who is doing a show. And if everyone in the neighborhood knows someone doing a show, everyone is tuning in. And that's the kind of community that, well, makes community radio what it is.
So within this last minute, is there anything else that people should know about Grand Street Arts or WCAA or anything I didn't ask you?
Only that I encourage everyone to tune in. We have a full slate of programming, both music, talk, and news. Though news is a little more scant, especially on the, you know, is it updated side, but that's something that needs to be filled in the next year. That's a goal of mine. But I do my show, which is What's Left in Albany, on Tuesdays at 8, and I do a leftist theory show Saturdays at noon, which is complete, basically. I've been doing that the last 5 years, and I finished that show to do the new one. We have another show called The Hope Shot. The Dialogue is another, and so on. And then interview shows that are syndicated from previous years by Cynthia Pooler called Focus on Albany. But we also have tons of music shows of various genres, blues, reggae, lots of reggae. So we have blues hours, we have hip hop, and basically a huge variety. And so I'll put that, I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Check us out, send us an email, drop us a line. We're on Facebook as well. No other social media at the moment, since we don't really have a volunteer in charge of it. So we're kind of behind on a lot of areas, so bear with us, but we are here.
And if people want to get more info, where can they find that?
Grandarts.org.
Thank you, Daniel Platt, for talking with me today.
Mm-hmm.
This has been Kalen McPherson for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, talking with Daniel Platt, the radio coordinator at WCAA.
Thank you for having me.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, babe?
I'm okay. I'm just still in bed.
Bad dreams.
Your dreams are always bad.
I know. It's nothing new. It's just how it goes.
What happened this time?
My dad sent me a digital file folder, and in it were all these new photos of me as a child.
Sounds realistic.
I know. The thing was, I was kind of hot stuff. I mean, I don't know. I looked good, so it was confusing.
Oh, God. Fathers and daughters.
Yeah. What about mothers and sons?
Yeah, but fathers and daughters.
Yeah, but mothers and daughters, man.
Yeah, but there's just kind of no comparison.
The worst is fathers and sons.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, that's the worst.
At least I'm no one's son.
Thank God for that. You definitely be one of those sons that turns into a fascist dictator.
Yeah. Instead of just another woman with no self-esteem.
All right, here is 2022 new music from U.S. Girls or Us Girls, depending on how you want to pronounce it. The song is called So Typically Now on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
Party animals. We enjoy life. We want to live life. We love women. Right? Eric and Brandon, you're on AM 750 WSB.
Everyone is just so uptight. I cannot believe it.
We're uptight people.
It's just a matter of being really, really defensive about everything and not even wanting to, you know, come within a couple of feet of other people.
That's true. We don't want to come within a couple of feet. You're absolutely right.
Listen, David.
Yes.
I was just sitting here with my roommate listening to your show, and
yes,
we were really moved.
Yeah.
And we sat down and we jotted down a quick little ditty.
Oh.
I'd like to play it for you.
I can't wait to hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Girls don't like it when I touch their butt. They're so cold and unfeeling. Makes me hit the ceiling. Makes me hit the ceiling. Stupid girls are so extremely cold and unfeeling.
Oh, man. I could feel the pain.
Yeah, it's there.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
All right.
Yeah, I could feel it.